complicated than that," lied on. "Trust me. Come on, while there's some twilight, and don't forget Mr. Vorbis." Vorbis was curled up. He looked at Brother with unfocused eyes, stood up like a man still asleep when Brother helped him. "I think he might have been poisoned," said Brother. "There's sea creatures with stings and poisonous corals. He keeps moving his lips, but I can't make out what he's trying to say." "Bring him along," said Om. "Bring him along. Oh, yes." "You wanted me to abandon him last night," said Brother. "Oh, did I?" said Om, his very shell radiating innocence. "Well, maybe I've been to ethics. Had a change of heart. I can see he's with us for a purpose now. Good old Vorbis. Bring him along." Simony and the two philosophers stood on the cliff top, looking across the parched farmlands of Omnia to the distant rock of the citadel. Two of them looking, anyway. "Give me a lever and a place to stand, and I'll smash that place like an egg," said Simony, leading Didactylos down the narrow path.
"Looks big," said Urn.
"See the gleam? Those are the doors."
"Look massive."
"I was wondering," said Simony, "about the boat, the way it moved. Something like that could smash the doors, right?"
"You'd have to flood the valley," said Urn.
"I mean, if it were on wheels."
"Oh, yes," said Urn, sarcastically. It had been a long day. "Yes, if I had a forge and half a dozen blacksmiths and a lot of help. Wheels? No problem, but..."
"We shall have to see," said Simony, "what we can do."
The sun was on the horizon when Brother, his arm around Vorbis's shoulders, reached the next rock island. It was bigger than the one with the snake. The wind had carved the stones into gaunt, unlikely shapes like fingers. There were even plants lodging in crevices in the rock.
"There's water somewhere," said Brother. "There's always water, even in the worst deserts," said Om. "One or maybe 2 inches of rain a year."
"I can smell something," said Brother, as his feet stopped treading on the sand and crunched up the limestone scree around the boulders.
"Something rank. Hold me over your head."
Om scanned the rocks.
"Right, now bring me down again and head for that rock that looks like, that looks very unexpected, really."
Brother stared.
"It does too," he croaked eventually. "Amazing to think it was carved by the wind."
"The wind god has a sense of humour," said Om, "although it's pretty basic."
Near the foot of the rock, huge slabs had fallen over the years, forming a jagged pile with here and there shadowy openings.
"That smell," Brother began. "Probably animals come to drink the water," said Om.
Brother's foot kicked against something yellow-white, which bounced away among the rocks, making a noise like a sackful of coconuts. In the stifling, empty silence of the desert, it echoed loudly.
"What was that?"
"Definitely not a skull," lied Om. "Don't worry."
"There's bones everywhere."
"Well, what did you expect? This is a desert. People die here. It's a very popular occupation in this vicinity."
Brother picked up a bone. He was, as he well knew, stupid, but people didn't gnaw their own bones after they died.
"Om?" "There's water here," shouted Om. "We need it, but there's probably one or two drawbacks."
"What kind of drawbacks?"
"As in natural hazards."
"Like,
well, you know, lions," said Om desperately.
"There's lions here?"
"Well, slightly."
"Slightly lions?"
"Well, only one lion."
"Only one?"
"Generally a solitary creature. Most to be feared are the old males who are forced into the most inhospitable regions by their younger rivals. They are evil-tempered and cunning, and in their extremity have lost all fear of man."
The memory faded, letting go of Brother's vocal cords.
"That kind?"
Brother finished.
"It won't take any notice of us once it's fed," said Om.
"Yeah?"
"They go to sleep."
"After feeding?"
Brother looked round at Vorbis, who was slumped against a rock.
Feed?